But I had I made alphabets and design into a syllabus, which the kids bought through the student store. Uh-huh. And also the history and costume syllabus and the fashion illustration one. And Burgess representative down here to see how many Burgess titles were used, saw my three, came to my office and said, may I send these to Burgess Publishing? And I said, sure, thinking nothing would happen to it. A month or two later, there stood Mr. Burgess himself and this other fellow's name I've forgotten, and they said, we want to publish your alphabets and design.
Wonderful.
Just like that. Then
nice.
I was on sabbatical, came home from Hawaii. I was doing some goofy thing I called international symbols or...
The glyphs.
Glyphs.
I was going to ask you about your glyphs, if it took off, if it went anywhere.
And if, no.
No. Okay.
Not until... There's some woman over there teaching now and Lynn... Oh, who's that stupid? Who's that chairman? Said, oh, you know, this new girl is doing what you did way back in the night,
really?
In 68. But anyway, I got home. What I wanted to do was go to the schools that had diverse first language types. And Hawaii, I thought, would be great with all of the different. And I knew... Ken Kingery had been my professor at UCLA, and he was professor at the University of Hawaii. And I had that entree, so I conducted these crazy things in several of their design classes, which was interesting. I mean, come was, this was your fate, look, come with an arrow pointing in. And then go would be the arrow pointing out, that sort of simple
right.
thing.
Uh-huh.
It got much more complicated, but anyway, I got home and here was a letter from Burgess. They wanted my history of costume. So that was in February.
Published.
They wanted it by August.
Oh, no.
And I had...
Had you done anything on the history of costume at that time, or were you talking about...
Oh, I had done the syllabus, and I had taken courses in history of costume, of course. And also, when I was in New York, I always went to the Costume Institute in the Metropolitan. But
you hadn't pulled together
a manuscript?
I hadn't
pulled together anything, and so I wrote longhand, did an illustration-appropriate type what I had done in longhand.
Oh, boy.
And that all the way through. And then 2 years later, they wanted a second edition, which took me almost a year and a half to do, which is much better than the first.
Uh-huh.
Much better. It's
over
there on the coffee table if you want to.
I'd like to look at it. I'll look at it.
Sure, whenever.
When I get up from here. You know, I tried to find your books in the library. All of your... fashion history books are checked out.
I didn't even know they had it.
Yeah, yeah, we've got it.
And Alphabets and Design, I know, is there.
Alphabets and Design, I saw those. I didn't check those out. I looked at them there on the shelves. It's a nice book. We have three copies of Alphabets and Design. And we have Fashion in History 1970, Burgess Publishing Company. And then we have this one, Fashion and History, 1979. Is that the same publication
that's
you're talking about?
But that's the second edition.
That's the second edition, right. And they're both checked out. So I didn't have a chance to look at them before I came here. So.
Well, I did many of the illustrations, and I was it for the first one or the second one? Can't remember, but I went to New York. Yeah, that was the first one, and got to know Mr. Stone in the library in the Costume Institute, and told him the years that I was kind of weak on, and he said, all right, I'll pull them out for you, be here Monday at 9. So I came, announced myself, and he said, come on down. And on the table were piles of books,
oh,
all in French, and I'd taken Spanish.
Oh, no. Well, maybe you could make a few
connections. But it wasn't long before I knew enough of the names of things in French, so I could piece it all together. Then the next time, I stayed with Mary when she was redoing the 350 Madison, and she had an apartment in the Beaux-Arts. And I would go over with her in the morning, or else come in from Garden City, one of the two. And they have a marvelous library, and I'd use their library because they have every copy of Vogue from 1893.
No, neat.
So I had that resource. So this one is much better, and the second one, I dropped out the fashion illustration because it had become persona non grata in the art
passé after a while, huh?
But
well, this may be a kind of an off the wall question, but did you ever find yourself doing anything in conjunction with the drama department? Were you ever an advisor to them in their costuming department?
They don't even
like
use
that?
My book.
Well, they have to go by something, don't they?
Yeah, they use one that was published in Germany first in 1893, and then they have another one who just went out of print a couple of years after mine came out.
Uh-huh.
That was, its first publication date was also 1893.
Really?
And a lot of stuff happened between then and now, and a lot of stuff's happened between 79 and now.
Yeah.
But Burgess sold to Macmillan, and Macmillan's gone broke. I'm sort of in limbo. It's where they get letters I've sent. They'll keep you, you'll be part of the family, blah, blah.
Right.
But, and they were going through bankruptcy the middle of this month, the first of next.
I didn't know that. Macmillan is in bad shape. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the fellow Maxwell that jumped off the boat owned it. And he had absconded with just gads of money from Macmillan.
No, I didn't realize that.
Well, I did because they had my book. And I was really very flattered that Macmillan would buy my text.
Right.
And for a while, there are many fashion illustration, fashion books, but not texts per se.
Right.
You know, they were written much differently. I have one I keep trying to find. It has a picture of a chastity belt, and I cannot find it. It's the most awful concoction you ever saw in your life.
I've seen drawings of them. Yes, they look incredibly uncomfortable.
Well, of course, I also won the year before. The second edition came out. Olive and I went to England, and you can learn an awful lot about costume from the sarcophagi.
Uh-huh.
So I went to every cathedral I could get to, and then to their costume, it's not called Costume Institute, but at the V&A, they have a great collection of costumes.
Uh-huh.
And saw my first underpropper.
Oh, really?
You know what an underpropper is?
It's probably undergarments of some sort.
No. You remember the big ruffs?
Yes.
Well, in order to make them stand up the way they did, it was made out of something that looked like corrugated paper. And that was put around, and then the ruff was put on top.
I see.
It was called an underpropper.
Because it proper.
Propped it up.
not because it was proper.
No. Yeah, just supported. Was supportive.
I see.
I must be wearing you out.
No, not at all. This is fascinating. Costume and fashion, I think, is just, I love it. But I never, I absorb whatever other people are telling me about it. I don't have the chance to get out there and do any of the studying.
Oh, it's just fascinating.
Well, you started to get into something that I was going to ask you about. You started to talk about this early on here in our interview, about the way people dressed at San Diego State as compared to UCLA. And I didn't quite understand what you were talking about. The bobby socks and the saddle shoes.
And the skirt and shirt and sweater.
And that's the way it was at UCLA.
Uh-huh.
And what was it at San Diego State?
Well,
college?
It's just that much warmer down here than UCLA, particularly in the wintertime. And they wore a little cotton dresses and and the skirts were always kind of full. They were still wearing those crazy ones, the poodle skirt.
Yeah.
Without the poodles when I came here. And the boys in their Bermuda shorts and their button-down shirts, they looked cute as a bug's ear. But then come the late 60s and 70s and the torn knees and the track pants,
okay,
which are
so
like
what,
the presoma of the Etruscans, and you know, they wore the hip huggers,
yes,
you know, and exposed,
yes,
their navels. I said, it's so funny, you kids deny that your mothers know anything, and then you show your navel.
Well, what do these fashion trends have to say then? I mean, you're a tracker of fashion trends, right?
Well,
you track the trends, as I say here.
Well, they're, for example, let's see, something that you, the Renaissance, you know, very tight.
Yes.
Also, Louis. And then they've got loose. The idea, it goes from tight to loose, tight to loose.
Oh.
As far as silhouette is concerned.
Right.
During the Second World War, for example, it went loose because women were nursing and doing things like that, or driving trucks and for the Red Cross, like a friend of my mother's did. And then during the 1920s, it was affluence and short skirts. You know, you got more daring and speakeasies and all that. Then came the Depression and the hemlines dropped. So it used to be that people would say that the length of the hem dictates whether it's prosperity or not.
Yeah,
well, they're
shut
enough down and
we're
not don't have prosperity. At least if you... If you live on interest from dozens of CDs that used to pay 9%, now only 3.25%.
Yeah, right.
How
in the world can you track the trends nowadays, though? There's just about everything
out
there anyway.
Uh-huh.
Anything goes. I saw a woman wearing, young girl, wearing a pair of bell-bottom pants straight out of the 1960s, straight out of 1966.
Yeah, it was in the 60s
17
sometime.
Magazine or
late
60s, like
early 70s. Well,
it's amazing.
Mine are just kind of that way now, but these I've had for a while.
They were tight. They were tied all the way down to here,
mm-hmm,
and they had two big frills of...
You know, that was very popular when the young man who became the vicar of All Saints in Brawley came to... He had just been ordained and to the diaconate, and he was ordained to the priesthood down there. But anyway, he had these pants, and he said these were nothing. He said, when I went to Cal, my pant legs were so big I had to grab hold of each side or I'd trip myself going up the stairs.
Oh, no. Oh,
so it wasn't, you know, the 70s wasn't the first time, and I remember I was about 6, and I wanted what was known as beach pajamas.
Uh-huh. I've never heard of
them. And I bought them, only I didn't read that they were not sanitized, so they became too small.
Yeah.
Sure, but they had flared, and that was in the late 20s.
Beach pajamas, huh?
And then again, in my first pair of Levi's I had, my grandmother bought me, she wanted, the worst way, hoped that I'd been a boy, and she bought me a pair of Levi's that had triangular insets of red, you know, down by the calf, so they flared a little.
Yeah.
So these things come and go, and somebody doesn't know that they've gone before, think they're new.
Oh, no. Well, I think probably people that are still in their teens and 20s and maybe early 30s don't see these things, because they haven't seen them come around yet. As you get a little older, you see these things happening again, and I'm seeing these things come back that I recognize.
You know, I think one of the saddest things is that kids don't have grandmothers. Or great-grandmothers.
Yeah. Oh, nobody has a very few people have
great-grandmothers. I had a great-grandmother. And my grandmother, Carter Whaley, was born the Monday after Lincoln was shot.
Really?
The Easter Monday, yeah. And do you know her birthday was, I've forgotten how many times in her lifetime, Easter came on her birthday. She died, and it doesn't, and in the Episcopal prayer book, it gives movable feasts all the way up until 2050, and hers never occurs again.
Really?
Uh-huh. Isn't that crazy? I think that's one of the trivia kind of bits of information I store away.
Are you good at Trivial Pursuit? You like trivial sorts of things?
Well, I was...
If it's personally...
I was up at the Wilsons for Thanksgiving. My pseudo-brother Jim and his wife, and they had some other people there, their son and his girl, and this fellow who is a commie from the word colony. He was so funny. He even smelled like a commie. Anyway, they were all playing Trivia Pursuit, and I said, well, can I play? Well, no. And somebody said, well, you're only an art. So they got the question, who was Victoria's, what was Victoria's husband's full name? Well, three of them were working on their doctorate, and none of them knew. Two of them working in it in computers, so naturally they wouldn't know.
How would they know it, right?
So finally I said, banged the table, and I said, I may be only in art, but... is Albert Sachs Kohlberg of Gotha. Oh, no, said Jim, that can't possibly be. Turned the card over, and I was right. I said, and now who's the dumb artist?
You have a strong humanities background, obviously.
I had a very smart mama.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny they say education is in such a frit. It wasn't any better when I started school.
It all depends on the person. A lot of it depends on the person.
Well,
if a student wants
and
to
their
learn,
their education,
they're going to.
They all had gone to state when it was a 2-year school. Uh-huh. And when I went down to Brawley, they'd all gone to SC or UCLA. Uh-huh. There's quite a difference. Yeah. Those 2 years make a difference.
Yeah, 2 years does make a big difference.
For whatever that's worth.
I want to kind of get off on a different thing here. Actually, kind of backtrack.
You probably better go be going home and get people supper.
Well, am I drawing this out too long for you? Are you getting tired?
No, no.
Okay, well, I want to just ask you a couple more questions then, just to make sure I get this here. You were talking about your gallery work. You were in charge of a gallery, and I also see here, I saw a news release that says that you were in charge of the college gallery exhibits.
For a semester or two, yeah.
For a semester
or two. We used to change around. Everybody took their turn of being...
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
every
it was nothing special.
Had to be in
it was
charge
just
of
one
it.
Of the extracurricular
and
things
And that was
you did.
One of the things that you did with your class when you said, okay,
yeah.
We're done with this, let's pick it up and we'll install it in
That's
the gallery.
Right.
And do you have any words of wisdom for me about the way the galleries have developed and grown over there at the art department? Anything?
Well,
any
I have
impressions?
The ones that I've seen, which are few and far between, for example, the faculty exhibitions, I think stink.
Yeah. Well, that might have something to do with your kind of difference of opinion as to the old school.
Well,
old
it
school.
Could be, but I mean, it's not that I am a eucalyptus school painter.
A eucalyptus school painter?
Oh yeah, we at UCLA called the people who took art at Claremont the eucalyptus school because of Albert Sheets. He painted beautiful eucalyptus trees.
Uh-huh.
But no, my painting background, I am influenced by Impressionists, I must admit. I love the Impressionist period.
Uh-huh.
But heavens, with the Bauhaus background, and Nita Delano was a Barnes Fellow, not once but twice, and saw that marvelous, got to see the marvelous Barnes collection, which very few people do. I guess they're trying to open it up more now. But, I don't know. they just don't have any quality. They don't have any sensitivity to what a brush can do in paint.
Uh-huh.
And the numbers of ways you can put it on. And, you know, they do. I have done some crazy things just for fun. I have done, it's down there, weighs a ton, but it was when I had a show at the East County section of the Fine Arts Department. They had a group of stores that weren't rented, and they hooked the powers that be to have a gallery. And I had a show there. And this is three In Search of the Truth. And it had, you know, those clear glass bubbles that, you know, you can use as tiles and whatnot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it had a hole with a dial behind it, and you could, it, every time you turned it, it made a different picture from the whole thing. And the other thing was bigger, and it did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So, and there was two holes in search of the truth, or something like that. I can't remember. And then, I can paint inside, out, or upside down, or not at all. When I studied Castellon in New York in one of his classes, and I paint very fast. And he called me the mad lady from San Diego, mad woman of San Diego, it's not a mad woman of Shadow. But,
It's a difference in,
You know, I love good, modern, contemporary things. The other day I saw on the telly this marvelous thing. Oh, now the name escapes me. But this guy had these four clear globes, and up above them was a light, and he circled these around and did all sorts of things.
Uh-huh.
Kinesthetic art.
Uh-huh.
Kinetic art.
Uh-huh.
My tongue is blaring up. And then he had a triangle and two balls, and then three balls, and he bounced them and he went off and made all these magnificent streaks of white to music, you know. And another fellow painted but his hands are a great big brush.
You know, somebody told me about that.
And he scrubbed around, and all of a sudden this red nothing turned into the fella I can't stand. If I hear him, and it's not that I'm prejudiced.
I know who it is.
I
know who it ended up being.
It was really miraculous how he did this.
Yeah, I heard it was quite a good show.
And there was one dumb woman who decorated a Volkswagen, and I thought, now this is the typical kind of stuff that San Diego art teachers think is contemporary or avant-garde.
Decorated a VW bug. I remember seeing a VW bug having been planted with a lawn. It was covered with grass. And the person actually clipped it and mowed it and watered it and all that good stuff.
There's a whole bunch of them that do this sort of thing to their cars.
Uh-huh. Well, let me, before we get too much further off onto that also, and I want to ask you about the 1963 visit of Kennedy. Now, I read that you designed the platform for the Kennedy visit. Is that so?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the back.
The backdrop business and the lettering and all that stuff.
It would hide the parking lot, you see. Uh-huh. I kept trying to convince them. The hill. Finally, I did. I was on the graduation committee one time, and I convinced them to turn it around.
Turn it around so you wouldn't have to look at the parking lot, but you would look at the hill.
But that was the purpose for it. And the funny thing, I couldn't stand Kennedy for beans. I still can't. George Sorensen and I were on the committee, and we ran up and downstairs, and we'd have to climb up and look through the TV camera to see weather and whatnot, and they hardly showed it at all on television. Oh, that was so funny.
That must have been quite a...
But, of course, those were the days when maintenance and the painters and all, I just gave them a little layout of what I wanted
and they
to do, and they
it.
Did it.
They did it. They took care of it. Not now. No, not now. No longer will that happen.
Of course, I don't know about now.
Well, I tell you, it's not that way. Well, now you mentioned to me that you designed the academic regalia.
Uh-huh.
Was that for 1963?
State. Yeah, uh-huh. And Golding just thought it was grand. They were a derivative of what was known as a surcoat, which was nothing more than lengths of fabric that, you know, this, say, this wide.
Uh-huh.
There must be a picture around them somewhere, because they took pictures on
Oh, yeah, it's an archive.
And,
lots.
They could be worn by anybody. The shortest ones were for the bachelor's degree, and they had a little attached hood.
Uh-huh.
So you had the whole thing in one schmear. And then the master's gown was floor length, but the hood was bigger. And then the doctorates, the hood was even longer.
Uh-huh.
And so, but one size fit all for one thing. They could have been made in Texas, I mean in Mexico. And the students could still rented them. And they were red, and the hoods were white piping with red and black in the back. Or the color of piping. Oh, that's another thing I did. I designed the standards, that, and that ought to be around in some graduating catalog. I designed these ovals, and there were 63 majors, and I've forgotten how many colleges. And each one, each symbol, was the predominant color was the color of, you know, like pink is for, of all things,
right,
music, I think.
Okay.
And so forth. And they were all different kinds of ovals with different kinds of cutouts in them. You know, different shapes.
Well, you know, I have never heard of any such thing before.
And
do you think there should be photos of that? And
I had no idea.
I bet you there is. We've got
the first time they used them was in the 70s, first tail end of 60s or 70s. And that was the beginning of the rowdy graduations.
Oh,
and they only managed to salvage one.
Oh.
One or two. But they were on Lucite, and it was in the evening, this graduation. So the sun was just setting, and somebody who was in the audience said the light through them was, because they were made out of tissue paper, so that it was kind of not transparent, but opalescent or whatever.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so the sunlight was coming through.
You know, and that was the first time that, oh, what was his name, who was the assistant to the president, and he had gotten his master's in English here, and he led the faculty in wearing the gown, academic gown that I designed for the master's degree recipients. So from
assistant
state.
To the president. Assistant to Golding? Or assistant, no, this is Love at the time. Love
I
was
don't
president.
Know. It must have been Golding.
Love was president when Kennedy was here. So
oh,
you're talking
this
about
was
70s?
After Kennedy. These things were after Kennedy.
Let's see. It must have been Golding. Golding was here for 5 or 6 years. It was Golding.
But I felt a little chagrin when I went to one of my godson's graduations from Stanford, and they had these magnificent heraldic flags.
Yep.
Now, there was a graduation I wish some of these punks here, who don't know what it is to get a degree.
Yeah, I know. They haven't worked. They haven't. They don't really care. They haven't worked for it.
They sure don't. I was told when I first came here, now don't plunk any of the people that are in it. Give everybody in education a B so they can stay in the school.
Huh.
Now, if that was their attitude then,